Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to meet together to worship you. You are our God. We are your people. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to church, everybody. I'm Donna Shore. This is Robert Shore. This is part of the Robert Shuler Ministries, a church with no walls. And we meet here together with you, our community here online and on our website, both the same thing, I guess, really, online, at 8 a.m. Pacific time every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And this morning, I get a break. Woohoo! Donna's going to deliver the message for us this morning. And she got a powerful message. You got to hear it. And you've got to see the photo that she found. It is spectacular.
We found it in Israel.
She'll tell you all about it.
I don't remember as much as you do. I actually saw it. I didn't get to see it in person.
You didn't see it?
No, you're the one that took the picture.
Yeah.
I heard about it. I don't know where I was in the evening when you all were doing that. You were going. There was like a little... I don't know, display next to
maybe you were
hotel
working
room.
Out. Maybe you were
know.
Having a drink. Maybe
no,
you
I
were...
think I might have been working out, actually.
But that we sounds
were,
more like it.
It was down by
you're,
the Sea of Galilee.
There was so much going on. We were having so much fun, and we really did have a great experience.
We did.
And there was in one Israel. Chapel where we were staying, and this painting is actually in the chapel. And it was the most beautiful thing. I took a picture of it, and then I highlighted it so you can see it better. And so she found this beautiful picture for it that she'll be showing to you. And that'll be coming up in a little while. So anyway.
Yeah, so what kind of announcements do we have? What do
well,
we have to talk about?
Obviously, we have church every single Sunday live in person. We do not air it because I share stuff in there that will be blocked. I've already had two strikes against me.
Well, that's on YouTube.
On YouTube.
Strikes, and you've been shadow banned.
And I've been shadow banned completely.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So where should they watch this? Where should they watch this message?
The best place to watch this is on our website. Mm-hmm. Without question, go to our website. Hopefully you're watching it there now, which is drshuler.org. That's drshuller.org. And the reason we spell it all out like that is because in closed captions, they don't get it right.
Yeah, they spell it out.
They spell it out, or they put a period,
yeah,
or something like that,
place.
Or it's in the wrong place.
Exactly. And then also, you know, while they're on our website, there's a lot to look at there. And you can see all of the articles, also called blogs. So there's a little tab that says blogs. They're all categorized now. We've been writing these for years, and they're 200 to 300 words each. So they're very easy read, but you know, they'll make a huge difference in your life as you're struggling through whatever you're struggling through: financial problems, family problems, blended marriages. I'm trying to think of some of the other just emotional anxiety. Raising children, all kinds of things that we personally experience and written about. So go on to our website, drshuler.org, and watch the service from there from here on out. And join our mailing list, because unfortunately, we don't send out a lot. In fact, they can find our
newsletter,
which we just put out just last week. And you can go on our blogs right now, and you'll see the August newsletter. So it's an update. You'll see all about our Holy Land trip. You'll see how you can put your name in for our next trip, which is May of 2025. It is going to fill up because we're announcing it early. We're going to have it all finalized probably a year out. And we want you to go with us. And if you read our newsletter, you'll see exactly why. Because it's something that's really hard to put in words, but we worked on this newsletter for quite a while. So please go look at our newsletter.
Yeah. So I've promised that every week I'm going to give some kind of a news update, something that you probably don't see on the news. And so I've got a little news update for you, and that's here in the state of California. We have water rationing, and it's been
what?
That way forever.
Dude,
right
again?
We always have periodically. So this came out in the CBS News released this past week. Oh, and it's 11 billion gallons of water released from Hodges Reservoir.
And where's it going?
That's the question. It goes out in the ocean. So they're releasing it, 11 billion gallons. And
because we had so much rain.
Yeah, we had too much rain.
And so they're getting rid of, they're throwing it away. And then so we have to ration so, water.
Exactly.
There's a real problem with
so here it gets crazier yet.
Oh, man.
So here it is. Over the past year, 11 billion gallons of water have been released. And this is in the city of San Diego. It is, the city of San Diego said it is under a state order to release the water level in the lake because the apparently the dam is damaged. And if that was the only issue, you would think they would fix it, because after all, they are charging people to maintain this dam. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, they're also charging them extra for using water. And so here it is. The Del Mar resident, Barbara Boris, has recently seen, this is all from that article from NBC8 in San Diego, says Del Mar resident Barbara has recently seen a spike in her water bill from the Santa Fe Irrigation District.
Because they're getting rid of all the water.
And so she
they
was shocked when she read the notice on her bill explaining why the rates were increasing. The price increase is due to the city of San Diego's lack of maintenance of the Lake Hodges.
Oh, come on.
Despite our annual payments to the city for its upkeep, the Santa Fe Irrigation District Commissioner notice read, San Diego owns Lake Hodges Dam and the city's public utilities department manages it. So it was built in 1918 and is currently unsatisfactory. And therefore, they're releasing all the water. So here's the bad thing. She's paying to have the dam managed. And then she's also paying because there isn't enough water.
Because they're mismanaging it.
Because they're mismanaging it. So she's getting dinged, dinged, and dinged. And
just be happy you don't live in California.
And they won't fix it.
Wow.
So
well,
here's
an update.
So the question is, why do people take short showers, and why do they have all these water restrictions on? Is it because the water we get goes out to the ocean? The water you flush, the water that goes down your drain, where do you think it goes? It doesn't go into the rivers.
No.
It doesn't go into the ocean. It is recycled.
Right.
It is completely goes through, and they make sure it's all perfect and great,
reclaimed, right?
And potable. Mm-hmm. And it's all reclaimed. The only water that goes down into the ocean is that which you spray in your front yard. If you wash down your sidewalks, or you wash your car, mm-hmm. or you water your lawn, any overflow goes down into the gutters and through mm-hmm. through the and off into the ocean. But that's it. Everything else is recycled. So you pay for every gallon you get. So what difference does it make if you use if you take a 10 gallon bathtub or a 50 gallon bathtub? You're still paying for it. You're paying for it to be recycled. It gets recycled. You're not saving water by using less water
in
your house.
And that's not the reservoir water, by the way.
Well,
totally different.
That water in the reservoir is used for that purpose.
Well, they let it go.
And the reason, because
they
let it go. Exactly.
Oh, my.
Anyway,
goodness.
It's just.
It's crazy making.
More crazy making in the world of politics, and specifically in California. And so please pray for our nation. Donna and I don't want to move. We have no intentions of ever moving. We feel like we're on the front lines. And so if you want to support this ministry and support us as we continue to proclaim the truth and let people know what's going on and open our eyes to the political stuff that's taking place in one of the bluest states in the nation. And blue simply means, just think about it. Well, how do you feel when you're feeling blue? It's not a good feeling. So anyway, that's why it's a blue state, is because
Everybody's feeling a little blue.
Yeah. So anyway, that's enough of me being silly so at this point, I'm gonna read the
scripture. Thank you.
And then I'll offer the prayer.
So okay, I'm reading a little one. Is it a little one?
No, I'm gonna read a big one. Okay, Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. Yes, Lord, brought me up. You did, Lord. You brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing to the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you have favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I'll praise you forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that comfort us, that heal us, your words that enlighten us and give us truth, for it is the only truth we really know. And so it is upon this that we put our trust, our hope, our confidence, and our assurance. We move forward with the understanding that through your words that we have in your Bible, we can know we're on the path to righteousness, goodness, and everlasting life. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So yeah, right. One of the things we do every Sunday is we collect an offering. And one of the reasons we collect an offering is not just to support this ministry, which it does, but it also supports you and gives you the confidence that you have control of your finances. If you can give the way the Bible has instructed us to give, you have your finances under control. And you know you have them under control when you can do that. And as you do control those finances and get them under control, you'll find that you will be blessed in ways you can't imagine. And we have seen it happen over and over and over again in our life and through our ministry.
Always.
And it's been in miraculous ways with numbers that we couldn't even begin to imagine. And it's God has always come through for us. The important thing is that we're faithful and we move forward in faith. And when we do, he is faithful to us. Is that the truth?
Always, always. And, you know, I just have to say something about the offering, because our son, Anthony, our youngest son, who's a doctor of chiropractic and now lives in Utah, last Sunday, he was asked to give the little offering 10-minute message. And his wife, 4-minute message. What did I say?
That's
a long message for offering. It's asking for a lot. But, part of what he said, I asked him, I said, what'd you say? And he said, well, I just challenged people to give even when they know they feel like they have nothing. For example, he said he and his wife just moved to Utah. They just had their second baby. He just, you know, took out a huge loan and took 3 months and built his first chiropractic office. It's not his first practice, but it's his first practice that's his. Yeah. And so he's just, you know, barely making ends meet, but he said, nope, God wants to challenge me. So he's already being blessed. He called a little bit earlier and said, yeah, he went into work and he has 2 new patients. And like
today?
Yes. Wow. He went in and just, yeah. So he, it's amazing how God works. And it's not always financially. God doesn't just, if you give God $10, he doesn't give you 20 back. It doesn't work like that. He works in unbelievable ways. He heals strife between family members. He heals strife between friends. He, you know, puts broken marriages back together. And yes, sometimes he does give you financial blessings just out of the blue that you can't even imagine. But the point is that you exercise your faith, you give when you feel like you can't. You don't wait to give. You don't wait and say, oh, you know, when our ministry is a little bit bigger, then we're going to start giving to other nonprofits. Yeah. You know, we'd love to support that missionary over there, but no, we don't have enough of our own. But guess what happens? We support others. I'm using us now as an example, yeah, of course. We support others, and suddenly we get more back and so many blessings. So anyway, I was proud of our son, who's the youngest of four, and you know, that he stood up and was asked to do that for his church. Yeah. He goes to a big church up in Utah. So anyway.
And his wife sent us a picture.
That's why we knew. His wife
and she said
I'm
you
so
raised
proud.
Him right.
Yeah. Really nice. Really nice. So how do they give?
So the way you give is you can write us a check and put it in the mail the old fashioned way. Our address is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. Or you can go our website at drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org. And you'll see a button there that says, I'd like to give. And then you can follow the prompts. And the third way is you can give through Venmo. Just so you know what our Venmo picture looks like, let me throw it up there for you if I can find it here. Where's our Venmo picture? Oh, there it is. So if you want going to give via Venmo, it looks like this, and there it is.
Picture
so,
Robert and I there. Robert Schuller Ministries.
Robert Schuller Ministries, and it's at Robert-Schuller Ministries. So that's, or you could just take a picture of that QR code, and that works as well. So we have three ways to give. The old-fashioned way, putting a check in the mail, Venmo, and then going to our website and following the prompts.
And on our website, because it's hard to get that address, that mailing address, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of our homepage, you'll see our mailing address. You know, we need to get a slide up with our mailing address. That might be helpful. We used to do that a long time ago. Maybe we should
do that
again sometime.
That's
maybe next week. Maybe.
Yeah, I could do that by next week.
Okay.
So you'll see where the QR code is, so you can pull that picture up when
Not
you're ready.
QR code.
I'm sorry. The next
slide.
Yeah,
my little picture. Yeah, I want to show them the picture
show
that I found, that you found. And actually a member of our church that went to the Holy Land.
Oh, actually, I took it.
Yeah.
This is the one I took.
Yes.
Yeah. So
she took
you
it.
Found
and
it.
She had it.
Anyhow, you decided to use it.
Yes. It's a beautiful picture.
So I'm going to let you give your message.
Okay.
And I'm going to go take a nap or something.
Okay, good. Here, you can take that chair away or something so I can.
Oh, there you go.
Just move away a little
bit. Yeah, then you can.
I've got the dog under the chair, too. I'll go over there. Isn't that what you do? You go in the middle. Oh, shoot. I just moved the camera. The camera got moved.
Okay, get where you want to go, and then I'll.
I think everything's okay. I don't know. Now it's the fireplace. Look, you see where I am? Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. It's the table hit. Now we got I really messed up, man. That's okay. Well, now
can you see the?
Yeah.
Let me see if the cursor is still on your picture.
The cursor's fine, but I'm not in the middle of the frame. I'm over here. I don't know what's going on. What happened is the table, when I scooted over.
Yeah, next time I'll leave the chair there and you can just
leave the chair.
Right
Sorry.
Over and sit on both
Sorry chairs, about that.
Like I do.
Okay.
That works a
I don't
better.
Know how you do it.
Oh, well.
Okay, so.
Have a nice morning. I'll be over here with you.
Okay. This is always fun for me because I told Robert, you know, I'm not under so much pressure. I am not an ordained pastor. I am not a preacher. I'm a speaker. And if you heard what I had to say a few weeks ago, it's posted and it was what to do in an emergency or emergency scripture, something like that. It's how to react in an emergency. And today I want to talk a little bit more about faith. I was on an interview for my book just the other day. A friend of mine has a really great podcast called Delphine Circle. And she had me on and she didn't necessarily talk about my book, but she talked about fearlessness because the name of my book is, you know, Fearless Women, right? And so she talked about a little bit about the book, but she wanted to know about faith. So of course, when she said, what's your definition of faith? I immediately said, well, Hebrews 11:1, right? The great book of faith, the book of Hebrews, and specifically Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not. And I think when you really dissect that and you think about each and every word, faith isn't an iffy thing. It's not like maybe, could be, I hope it happens. You have to believe it with every fiber of your body. So today, the story I want to read to you, it's a true story out of the Bible. It's actually mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'm using the account out of Mark because it's the longer account. It gives us a few more details about what happened to this woman. I'm going to show you the photo right now. So you may recognize that. And if you don't know the scripture, this particular scripture is from Mark, and it's Mark 5. And I'll be starting with verse 20. And it talks about the woman who was bleeding. She was hemorrhaging for years, 12 years, it says in the Bible. So listen to this and think about faith. And then we're going to talk about this woman. And I'm going to break it down a little bit for you. And I'm going to kind of unpack what this means to me and what it might mean to you. Because here's the thing. Just like I talk about these scriptures you need to memorize, there are things that need to be so roped that when you have an emergency in your life, you go to them. It's like, be still and know all things work together for those who love God. God is with you. Do not fear. I don't know what your go-to is, but if you don't have a go-to that's just automatic and you don't train yourself to do that, then you're going to go what I like to call the negative committee in your brain starts working overtime. And that just takes you on a cascade of negative emotions, and it doesn't do anything great for an emergency or for anything in your life. So go back to faith. And what is faith, right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things like not seen. So why is it that we look to natural things first? And when the natural solutions don't work out, then we think, oh, God, maybe God will help us. And basically, it needs to be the flip. We need to learn to seek supernatural help from Jesus first, and then we seek other solutions. So hear these words here. A large crowd followed Jesus and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been bleeding. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of doctors, and she spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd. She touched his cloak. I'm going to show this to you again. It'll mean a little more now. But she touched. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus felt that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd, and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and she fell at his feet, trembling with fear. She told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So talk about faith, right? First of all, think about this woman. You have to understand, in this culture, the fact that she'd been bleeding for 12 years means she was unclean. Anybody that came around her was unclean. So she had more than a physical problem. She had a spiritual problem because she wasn't allowed to worship God the way she would like to. She couldn't. She was an untouchable. She wasn't really allowed to go outside. So think about this. She heard that this great healer was going to be coming to her side of the lake. And by the way, he had a mission. Jesus was on a mission. He was going to the house of Jairus to heal Jairus's daughter. Jairus was one of the leaders in the local synagogue who had called for Jesus. So Jesus and his disciples were on a mission, and it was very crowded. And it was, you know, you think about this. This woman comes out of her house. She's brave enough to leave her house. And then she's courageous enough to crawl up and barely touch the hem or the cloak of Jesus. And, you know, I was reading a little bit more about that. They said they're not sure if it was his outer robe or his inner robe. They don't know if it was one of the tassels that was customary in the day of Jesus, because they had the tassels on their robes, and they still do for a lot of the Jews. And they pray using these tassels. And there's a whole meaning between about these tassels. They don't know for sure, but I know this for sure. She touched him and she was healed. So there's a couple things there. Not only was she courageous, but she was persistent. I'm sure she had to push people out of the way. And keep in mind, she was very weak. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. She had to have been thin and weak and hungry and embarrassed and dirty. So she was fearless. She was strong. She was persistent. She was faithful, and she was faith-filled. And you know what else she was? She was intentional. How many times do you just say, oh yeah, I'm going to pray, or I'm going to ask God to help me, you know, with this, that, or the other, but your intentions aren't there. You're distracted and you don't come back to him in the right way. And you don't focus and you don't spend time alone in the morning or in the evening or midday. I don't know when your time alone with God is, but you have to be intentional. This woman was intentional. Another thing to keep in mind is that he had a lot of people touching him. You know, this is a crowded street. His disciples were around him, but there were people coming out in the street. And Jesus is here. He's on the way to help the leader of our synagogue's daughter, who's going to die if he doesn't get there. And so lots of people had bumped up against him and brushed up against him and touched him. And probably people helped him ashore once he and his disciples got a boat. Why did he choose her? Why did he heal her? And the reason he healed her is because of her faith. She had faith. And it wasn't that she touched his garment. You know, there's things in life that we use as tangibles. We call them points of contact. You have a point of contact. Your Bible is a point of contact. You contact God through reading your Bible. Prayer is a point of contact. Your church is a point of contact. This church service online is a point of contact, but this isn't God. Your Bible's not God. Your church isn't God. That hem of Jesus's robe was not God. Jesus is God. And that's where the power comes from. And that's what we have to remember too. Don't confuse a point of contact, which is very important because we're humans and we need a point of contact. Don't confuse that with the person of Jesus. So he heals her, and he says to her, and he was very intentional, and he calls her daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. And another thing important to know is, two things. This is the only time in the New Testament where he's called somebody daughter. So that in and of itself is very special. And equally so, the word healed in Greek means saved. So she's saved. She's been restored. Again, not just physically, but she's been restored emotionally and most importantly, spiritually. You know, I used to do a lot of nutritional coaching. I still help people with nutrition, but I look at the whole person, body, mind, and soul. And without exception, every person that I used to sit down across from when I would be assessing their needs. And, you know, a lot of people would come to me because they wanted to lose weight. Excuse me. Sometimes they wanted to gain weight, but typically most people wanted to lose weight. And, excuse me, a little dried out there. But without a doubt, without exception. Each person that I talk to, that I would assess their condition and why do they need to have instruction on how to eat right, the physical food that they put in their body, without exception, every single one of them had an emotional and a spiritual problem. So spiritually, there was something eating at them, and it was showing up in what they were eating in food. But the food and what they ate or didn't eat was just a symptom of something much, much deeper. So it's very interesting that Jesus healed this woman. He healed her completely. He saved her. He saved her from herself. He saved her from her bleeding. You know, and then going back again, why is it? Oh, thank you. You brought me some water. I'll get a little choked up there. So, you know, I know all of us have been through physical challenges. And this woman said she went to doctor after doctor after doctor. She used up all her money. She ran out of money. So how many times have we done that? And then you, oh, yeah, maybe we should turn to Jesus. You know, we seek the natural, meaning the obvious, the tangible, before we go to the supernatural. And again, we're mixed up. I mean, I'm all for emergency medical care. You know, if you're in an emergency and you need something done, then by all means, you need emergency medical care if it's a medical emergency. But on the flip side of that, I think all of us need to have more patience and just be more intentional with Jesus. Look into natural healing, prayer, fasting, eating right, doing away with the things that we know aren't good for us emotionally and bad habits. And, you know, it's such a big topic that people don't really want to take responsibility for. But back to this woman, she took responsibility for herself. She crawled out. She crawled out of a hole, probably. And she had the courage to go to Jesus and to say, I need you to heal me. And more than that, she didn't even talk. She just touched him. She reached out and touched him. And he announced to everyone that, you know, he didn't ask his disciples who touched me because he didn't know. I believe he knew because Jesus knows everything. But he wanted the people around listening and watching to know that it was a miracle from God, from Jesus. He didn't want them to think it was some magic spell or hocus pocus. So he announced very loudly, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. So again, I'm going to ask you, how many times have you caused problems for yourself or stress for yourself or gone through times where you're anxious and worried, but all you really had to do was just, you know, through prayer, symbolically reach for the cloak of Jesus, reach for his hem, and not wait for some natural, you know, person on a white horse coming in to rescue you, because Jesus is really the one that's going to rescue you. So the takeaway with this message really is the last verse, and that is when Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. And I believe Jesus will make you well. He doesn't always do it when we want him to. He doesn't do it in the way we think it should happen. It takes a long time. And sometimes we don't understand the path, the crooked path we go through, but you just keep your eyes on Jesus. You just keep walking the straight line as much as you can, and things will work out for you. You know, life is not promised to be easy. If you read my book, Fearless Women Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities, you'll learn a lot about me as a person, as a young child, and as a teenager and as a young adult. And then as I grew into being a pastor's wife, and now, you know, I'm a volunteer pastor, but things haven't always been easy. You know, I think it's easy to look at people that have some sort of, I guess what you'd think of as worldly influence or success, and think that it's always been that way for them. And it's always easy And I can tell you, it hasn't been easy. And fearlessness and courageousness and faithfulness is not something that just happens like automatically. It's something that I work on every day. I have certain habits that I embrace. I read my Bible every morning. I pray every morning. I make sure I have quiet time. On the days when I don't have that quiet time, it makes a huge difference in my life. Because again, what I said at the beginning of the message was that I like to call it that negative committee in our heads can be so loud. And we want to be able to call on the name of Jesus to just take away all that negativity. And I love what, you know, the late Naomi Judd always said, and I use this quote a lot, and that is, what your mind thinks, your body hears. Remember that. So what are you thinking about? What do you meditate on? What are your points of contact? How do you get in touch with God? How do you stay in touch with Him? How do you deal with things that come your way when you've lost your job, or you've lost your spouse, or, you know, God forbid, you've lost a child? I've gone through a lot of that with friends recently, and my very best friend, in fact, a little over 3 years ago, lost her son. And how do people deal with this pain? I don't know. I don't know how people deal with it if they don't have God. You know, you have to believe that there's something bigger and greater than you are, because at some point, you run out of steam. And for me, it's knowing that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, is there, and he's gonna be the only one that's gonna dig me out of a hole, that's gonna heal my hurts. And you know, healing takes a while. So just have faith. Remember, faith is the assurance, not the maybe, the assurance, things hoped for, the conviction. Conviction's a strong word, the conviction of things not seen. If you can see what's happening in your life, then you don't have faith. Faith is of the unseen things that you know are going to happen. So my prayer for you, my wish for you, as you've listened today, is that your faith would just expand, that you would believe in the bottom of your, you know, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that you would believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that He's there for you, that you would learn to call on Him, and that He would be gracious unto you, and that He would look at you like He looked at that woman that reached out and barely touched the hem of His garment. He would say, daughter or son, your faith has made you well. So thank you for listening today, and we'll see you next Sunday at, let's see, if it's 8 a.m. Pacific time, then it is time for the Robert Schuller Ministries online church service. And Robert will be talking to you again next Sunday. And let's end with a prayer here. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to people. Lord, I just pray that somebody, anybody, was just touched by one thing I said, because these were not my words. This was a message that you gave me, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings in all of our lives. Help us to be grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to let you turn off that. I'm going to turn that off. Bye. Yep. Am I good? I hit okay.